Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from our studio in East County. Last week, we aired our La Mesa City Council Candidates Forum, and today we're going to be airing interviews with two of the candidates running for the La Mesa City Council, Councilwoman Christine Alicio and Realtor Laura Lothian, who were not able to participate in the forum due to scheduling conflicts. But first, we have an update for you on the Valley Fire. Now, as of our show taping deadline on Friday, the fire is 39% contained, and firefighters held the perimeter at 17,665 acres. 30 homes are confirmed destroyed, along with 31 other structures in East County, and 11 others suffered damages, but fortunately, no lives were lost. Areas impacted include Hopatool Valley, Carbaker, and Lawson Valley. All evacuation orders and warnings across East County have been lifted, and residents can return home with identification. The danger is not over, however, and CAL FIRE warns that with warming temperatures and dry conditions forecast for the weekend, the potential for fire growth remains. Firefighters are working hard to mop up hot spots, strengthen containment lines cut by bulldozers, and defend structures. The state and county have both declared emergencies due to the Valley Fire, and that will allow resources to be used to help fire survivors. The county has established a recovery hotline, and that number is 858-715-2200. There's also a recovery email, and that email is valleyfirerecovery@sdcounty.ca.gov. Again, valleyfirerecovery@sdcounty.ca.gov. And the information is available in both English and Spanish. The county also opened a local assistance center at the County Library in Rancho San Diego for the next 3 days. It's open this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Monday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Again, that's at the Rancho San Diego County Library. Fire survivors who go there can get information from multiple agencies all in one place. That includes information on rebuilding, temporary housing assistance, crisis counseling, food stamps, help for seniors and those with disabilities, first aid, health screenings, and help to replace vital records, among other things. The county's Live Well San Diego mobile unit will also be parked outside to help residents. Other agencies that will provide help and information include the DMV, the American Red Cross, the California Department of Insurance, the State Contractors Licensing Board, SDG&E, and the California Franchise Tax Board. Now, if you would like to help the Valley Fire survivors, the San Diego Foundation has set up a fund to do so, which you can find at sdfoundation.org. And you can also go on our site at eastcountymagazine.org for all of these details. Plus, we've also listed GoFundMe sites set up for about 8 of these families so far, if you prefer to help individual families. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine, and I'm here with Christine Alicio, one of the six candidates running for two seats on the La Mesa City Council. Christine, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Miriam, and I apologize for not being able to make the forum, but I really appreciate the opportunity to be interviewed, and I appreciate your independent journalism that you've been providing to all of East County, including La Mesa, for several years.
Thank you. I know as a journalist, one thing I appreciate is that you've always been a very accessible elected official, and so that's one important qualification. Why don't you start out by telling us what you consider, though, your most important qualifications for those who may not be familiar with you, and also your most significant accomplishments in your term on the council so far?
Well, I think qualification-wise, right now we are facing a very difficult time. It is COVID-19 has changed the scene tremendously. La Mesa is not alone in the effects of it financially, socially, in every other way.
Right.
Several municipalities are facing it, but we are heavily sales tax dependent in La Mesa, and we are looking at really operating in the red more than we already do, and lots of people don't realize we already do, and that's due to pension liabilities. And so you're going to need a steady hand with a background in municipal finance, understanding, you know, you've got unions that are going to want this, people are going to need extra help, whether it's renters, whether it's businesses, and it's not going to be an easy recovery. And with that, another important thing for La Mesa is we've got to feel, we have riots, that there is safety, a safe city. We don't want to see crime rates increasing. We've done a lot of shuffles at the police department. And again, if you understand municipal government and you have a background in understanding these issues, it is a huge qualification.
Yes.
Another thing facing La Mesa that I am eminently qualified of and is the land use patterns. We are looking at adding several thousand new homes during the next few years. Fortunately, La Mesa has already been zoned that way since 2012 when we last did our general plan update. But preservation of neighborhood character, we're balancing the need for affordable housing. My background is in real estate development. I am a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I am also a cat lover. Those are things and a parent. Those are things that are going to need someone with that skill set to deal with. And I think I'm unique in that. And I'm a small business person. I own a self-storage facility in Spring Valley.
I didn't know that. Very good. Wow.
And also I would say, you know, just I'm in it, not affiliated with a political party. So I like to think that I hear all sides and I don't beat the drum for one side or the other. And I think that's what La Masons need or want. They don't want you to feel disenfranchised because you aren't part of whatever political tribe that is popular.
So you're running as the independent voice in the race. I don't know if there's any others, but you're definitely.
I am. And as you know, I left the Republican Party due to what I felt was the local leaders failing to denounce the racist attack in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. And I never looked back. And I know I've gotten a lot of grief from people on the Republican side for leaving, but I still feel that that was the correct thing to do.
Yeah. And well, it certainly showed some political courage to do that. La Mesa has been obviously the target of a lot of protests of police and over racial justice issues. And also there was that devastating riot on May 30th and 31st. Christine, what should be done specifically to address the concerns that people have over racial justice and actions of the police in an increasingly diverse population, but also make sure that the police are able to protect public safety so we don't have buildings burning down again and not enough police to respond?
It's a balance, and I don't think there is a one solution to this. Obviously, you don't want people to feel like they are being mistreated by the police or people to feel like they are unwelcome in La Mesa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not an easy solution. You can't just say, oh, we're going to do this, that, and the other thing. But I think La Mesa really needs to come together to be welcome to everyone and support our police officers. We are losing officers and have a diminished force right now, and they're going to need some support. And that is something that I think most La Masons don't think about, but when you have an alarm go off in your house and the response time is low, it's not that the police aren't caring, but I'm a strong supporter of the police and they're going to need some additional funding. And they also may need, you know, to take some of the burden off of them in dealing with things like homelessness, things that aren't major crimes. And I'm not against any of that. And I think we're taking the first steps with a citizens oversight group. And I think that's happening nationwide. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's inconsistent with the police activities and the police force. And I do think they should be completely involved in that because I'm not in law enforcement. I don't know what they see. I've been on ride-alongs and it's a job that is very tough and they need tons of public support and they especially need it from elected officials.
Absolutely. How can the city better respond to any future crisis to make sure that residents are kept informed throughout the event?
I would say that the city needs to have an alternate dispatch for NCSL. And I understand that when you are having rocks thrown in and people yelling and everything else, it's going to be hard for the people in the police station to do it. But I think if we've learned anything, that we could get a remote location, perhaps, you know, a second location to communicate better with the
That's
public when these are happening.
Yeah.
And that is something that I definitely have brought up before to multiple people. And I think when we do our, in, the investigation comes through about the May 30th riots, mm-hmm. we will have some, probably some good solutions and good ideas as to how to better communicate.
Okay. Homelessness is a growing problem countywide and, of course, also in La Mesa. What steps do you support to address homelessness and get, you know, get help to get these folks off the street and get them services?
I think that we have dedicated a lot of money already in La Mesa to homeless services. And I think our last count was 40-some homeless. But really, it's a question that the state of California needs to be more proactive of on, because they set the legislation regarding whether or not you, if you are homeless and you are mentally ill, can you be forced, put into treatment to solve, you know, to get help. And that's going to have to come from the state level. Locally, what we can do is families and children who are either unsheltered or living with relatives, we need to be committed to building and having housing that they can afford. It's not an easy situation, yeah. And I don't think there's a one size fits all when you have people that are out, you know, dirty on the street. These were someone's kids. It's criminal to leave them out like that. But if they don't want to go into treatment, then that's going to have to be legislated at the state.
How would you balance the state's requirements, you know, pushing for more housing, especially affordable housing, to meet the housing shortage crisis that we have statewide, versus the concerns of those in La Mesa who are concerned about retaining the character of their communities, including the historic district, and making sure there's enough parking for everybody, the ongoing battle in La Mesa?
Yes, and that's where my experience really comes into bear. As you know, and maybe people don't know, I was also a La Mesa Planning Commissioner for 10 years prior to being on the council. My background is in land use and real estate development, and I was a member of the Alpine Community Planning Group back in the 80s, so I've got tons of land use experience. How you balance it is we have an existing general plan. It has height requirements. It has this. It has that. We have a mixed-use overlay zone, and the growth will continue to be in that area, and that preserves the single-family neighborhoods. I would not be in favor of building, you know, a giant 10-story building that's abutting a single-family neighborhood or a historic neighborhood, and I'm very happy you brought up historic preservation. I'm a big historic preservation person, and we're getting ready to do a historic inventory in the city of La Mesa, which is something I have pushed for, and I know that the Historical Society and Historic Preservation Commission have pushed for that, and San Diego State students. So it's going to have to be a balance, but I don't see in our existing plans anything that would mean that, you know, the character of the neighborhoods would drastically change.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The burning of the banks and other businesses and the closure of the Randall Lamb Historic Building and the closure of some other businesses because of, you know, the economic downturn, the pandemic and so forth has been tragic, but it also presents redevelopment opportunities in some of those cases. There's been a lot of ideas floating around on social media, everything from a town square with outdoor dining. I think Colin's talked about that, Colin Parent. Housing, mixed-use development, maybe a new library or centrally located community center, or just more parking. What is your vision for the future of downtown, and what might actually be feasible. There's a lot of pipe dreams, but what could really happen?
We have a downtown that is operating under a very old specific plan. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is update that specific plan, and that update needs to be very public, very transparent, and involve the community. I have all kinds of ideas in my head that I may think are just fabulous, like building a pedestrian bridge to link the two sides of the village.
That's why last night someone was telling me, we should have a pedestrian bridge.
creating a plaza type thing, but I'm not the person who owns a business there or lives there, and I'm open to any creative ideas that can be there. You know, maybe there are, the downtown is a treasure, I will also qualify that with, it needs to, we need to think of more places besides the downtown. I believe the banks are rebuilding, and the Randall Lamb building, the property will, you know, maybe they'll be sold, maybe it won't. But right now, we really need to kick into high gear to get community input and get a new downtown village specific plan for that area.
Very good. Yeah, you mentioned other parts of La Mesa, but are there redevelopment ideas or ideas in general that you have for places other than downtown?
Well, I think we've done a very good job about the corridors of Elkhorn Boulevard and University, getting the zoning there. And we need to continue to focus on that. I view that as unlimited potential, whether it be more restaurants, more shops, little shops. There's a lot of little shops. That's a huge untapped potential for La Mesa that really, I hope, people begin to look at and invest in. We will also have, at some point, Grossmont Center may be changed. And that's a giant piece of property that really could affect a lot as far as housing, shopping, parks, whatever they choose to do. But it is private property, and that will be their choice. We're looking at another larger project down on Alvarado where there is a mobile home park, and they're trying to develop a specific plan for that, which would be right next to the trolley line, potentially provide housing for students at San Diego State. And because it's situated kind of down in that valley, really not a lot of effect upon the single family residences up on the hill. And so that's happening in La Mesa. They're still plugging through with a specific plan for that.
Great. Christine, after the riot, there were residents that stepped forward to form a La Mesa Civil Defense Group and in Santee and East County Defenders Group with the goal of protecting businesses from looting and vandalism, which makes sense. But there have been some clashes involving racial taunts and fistfights, even brandishing of weapons, leading to some criticism of the groups and of your early support for some of the defender movement. Can you just clarify your position today on these groups and what role, if any, you foresee for them in La Mesa in the future?
I kind of see myself like Jeremiah Ellison, the council member in Minneapolis. When his district was threatened by looting, by rioters, what he believed to be white, racist, Antifa people, he went out there with them. Mm-hmm. And I admire that. And the Washington Post did a huge article on that. Of course, maybe there were some people in his group that were said or did weird things. I know you're also on the Defend East County page, and I follow it as media,
so we kind of know what they're doing. It doesn't mean I'm a member,
if you're an elected official, you should keep your eyes on the people who are looking, whether it would be people going to protest or people counter-protesting. You need to have your eyes and ears on that. And I believe having been in the riots, in there, with the bank burning, with the burn on my arm from the embers from the bank, having been there watching someone's shop be broken into and screaming at people to get away, I still believe that a civil defense, an ability to protect your business, not yelling racial slurs or just instigating with people, is paramount. I mean, you that's a right. And the terrified business owners who were down there, they were terrified. things were burning around them. Yeah. And, you know, that's quite different than taking up like some posse comitatus militia thing. Mm-hmm. That's a two different issues. And unfortunately, they get confused. But yeah, I always will support a business should be able to stay there, and they should be able to protect themselves or give an appearance of being there. So if someone throws a incendiary device into their business, they have a right to protect themselves from that. That's attempting to do bodily harm.
Protection for people on all sides. So if there is a protester that's attacked, say by some overzealous defender, that the police should enforce the violence against all sides, basically.
Yes, definitely. The protesters shouldn't feel threatened. They have a right to protest. I've seen, and as you know, on both sides, people get overzealous. I know the reporters have been subjected to overzealous people on all sides.
They've been attacked by police, they've been attacked by protesters, and they've been attacked by defender types. So
they have. I think it's difficult to group, say, well, that group is bad. All the people who support BLM are bad, and all the Defend East County people are bad. I think it's very short-sighted and divisive of people to make an issue out of that. People have a right to protest. People have a right to protect their businesses.
Yeah, with every movement, you have a combination of well-meaning people, I think, or with most movements, well-meaning people, and then some who go to extremes.
I agree.
On a more positive note, Christine, can you tell us about some of, I know you've made a lot of efforts to support local charities and nonprofits in the community. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I've always been very involved in charities, whether it was giving them my time or my money or both. I believe I have lived by this quote forever. It's Albert Schweitzer: in gratitude for your good fortune, you must render some sacrifice of your life for another life. I've had that on my refrigerator since I was 17, and I believe that. I've supported the Historical Society, the Friends of the Library. I think the thing I'm most proud of, and I hope I don't cry, but when my mother suddenly passed away a few years ago, I inherited some money, and you know, I thought to myself, what would my mom want me to do with this? I'm not going to cry. And so she was a huge supporter of the Boys and Girls Clubs of East County. And I thought to myself, well, I can put this in an educational fund for my daughter. I can, you know, pay something off, or I can just give it back to the community. And I sponsored an entire room, a games room, and used my inheritance to honor my mom. And that's just, you know, that's kind of who I am. And some days I think, oh my gosh, now it's COVID, they can't even use it. And I could really use the money, but you do things that are the right thing to do. And I'm just absolutely invested in this community. I did pet therapy volunteer for years in La Mesa. Unfortunately, my pet therapy animal passed away and I could no longer continue doing it. I didn't have another one. It's giving back. It's going into the homes of the retirement homes and older folks' homes, going up to Grossmont Gardens to where the Alzheimer's patients are, and you bring your animal in and you spend several hours there talking to people, letting them pet your animal, letting them talk about their lives. There's such, and of course that can't happen during COVID, but there's such a need to give back to your community. Maybe it's helping the Friends of the Library at their bookstore. Maybe it's volunteering again, Boys and Girls Club, any of that. And I've donated time and money to the La Mesa Parks and Recs Foundation have done a tremendous job getting playground equipment, helping the city. And I think you really have to be a good elected official and a good citizen or resident, you have to give back whenever you can.
We are running a little bit short on time, but I want to just combine a couple of questions here quickly. What are your budget priorities and any ideas to increase revenues in these difficult times? And also, within that, the pandemic, of course, has severely impacted residents all over La Mesa. La Mesa did recently give out $1 million to help businesses of CARES funding, federal CARES funding, and $600,000 to renters. But the application period for renters actually just closed early because there were so many people applying and others who haven't gotten aid, you know, like homeowners facing foreclosures. So within the budget priorities, if there's any more ways, you know, to help people hurting from the pandemic or any more aid money coming, I'm wondering how you would prioritize any future round of relief funds.
I think we need to look at who applied, and you get applications, but are they valid? You know, I don't know that on the business or the renter side. I do think that mortgage relief, I know lots of the banks have been very helpful to their mortgagees, working with them. But as it continues, as the economy doesn't start right up, I think we're going to have to look at using that CARES money if we get a second allotment to help all of the above. And we're really going to have to assess, you know, who needs it. And maybe it's more rental relief. Maybe it's more business relief. Maybe it's something for the city itself. Maybe it is moving into a mortgage assistance program. Mm-hmm. And it really,
by the way, mortgage assistance relief failed to get through the legislature at the end of the session, unfortunately.
Of course. And then you have to look at the commercial end of things, your commercial landlords who...
How long can they go without rent?
How long can they go without rent? And La Mesa never did any commercial evictions. So you've got people, small business, that are backwards in their rent. And how long can the landlord expect to hold that up? Yeah. All of those things, as we get more money from, if we get more CARES money, are going to have to be looked at.
And do you have any ideas to increase revenue? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, revenue? Increase revenue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you just have to continue to sell La Mesa as a wonderful place to do business. And if you have, you know, new shops, I know we have our new assistant city manager is very pro economic development, and I love him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting, you know, whether it's a larger chain, whether it's a group of businesses, we need a car dealership, whatever that happens to be there. We're so sales tax dependent, and you ask.
Oh.
We're so sales tax dependent that it's not just enough to cheerlead. It's actually, you have to make it easier for people to do business in La Mesa. And you also have to have someone who, I'm very happy with the new assistant city manager, who's out there actively recruiting businesses to come to La Mesa.
Okay. Christine, I'm going to give you the final word here. What else would you like to say to our readers, but now it's readers and viewers out there, about your service on the council and your candidacy? Why they should vote for you?
I would just like to tell the viewers that I feel like I've served you quite well with a very independent streak. We have a great climate action plan that I worked on. We're working on more affordable homes that I've worked on. I've crossed the political lines because I am independent. Even prior to that, would cross the political lines to get things done for La Mesa. And I think you need someone who's, you may not always agree with me, but I will always be straight honest with you, and I will always work for you, the La Mesa residents.
Very good. Where can they get more information? I know you have a new website put up, Christine. Do you have the web address for that?
Yeah, I do. It's www.alicio2020.com, and people can also call me. This is my personal cell phone, 619-806-4058. I don't mind. I really don't. If you call me and you just want to yell and make mean comments, I may not return your call. But if you have an issue in La Mesa that you don't think that me or the council or anyone is noticing, please call me. I've gotten so many good ideas from our residents because I have been very accessible, and I will continue to be that way.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us and share your ideas about the future of La Mesa. And viewers, we will have information on all six candidates running on our site that you can find at eastcountymagazine.org.
Thank you very much, Miriam.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine, and today my very special guest is Laura Lothian. She is a successful realtor, and she is one of six candidates running for the La Mesa City Council, along with council members Christina Alicio and Colin Parent, and challengers Jack Hsu, Alan Durden, and Mark Pappenfuss. And you can find coverage of all six candidates in this race at our website at eastcountymagazine.org. We want to thank the Facebook Journalism Project and KNSJ Radio for supporting our series of virtual candidate forums and interviews during the COVID-19 pandemic. So Laura, can you please start by sharing what you consider your most important qualifications for the job and why you're running for the La Mesa City Council?
Okay. Hi, I'm Miriam. This is Laura Lothian calling. I am a realtor with Pacific Sotheby's in La Mesa, and I have been working in La Mesa as a realtor since 2002. And my biggest qualification, I believe, for being a member of the City Council is I come from the business world. I think with a business perspective. I have been doing real estate for 18 years. I'm proud to say that I'm the top agent in La Mesa in terms of production. And I got there by working 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, being very good at marketing, creative, persuasive, listening to clients, caring about them. And because of the COVID and what it's done to the business community, I feel like they really need a voice on the City Council. From what I understand of the current council and the candidates, I seem to be the one with the strongest business background.
Yeah, the businesses certainly have struggled in La Mesa for a long time between the streetscape improvements a couple of years ago and then the pandemic and then, of course, the shutdowns for that and the riots. Can you give us some examples of some specific steps that you hope to take to reduce regulations, as you've indicated you would like to do, and to help La Mesa businesses recover and thrive in the future?
Okay, good question. Okay, so one of the first steps I would take is education. Every time I tell a friend, a client, an associate a regulation story, they're always shocked and surprised. They cannot believe that that is actually the way regulations work. And so I think that number one, I have to educate the public. For example, a few years ago, I was in this office, which is on beautiful La Mesa Boulevard. I have a big window front. People are always walking past, and I'm very busy here. But after hours, I can catch up on my files, do my phone calls, my emails. And so a few years ago, I was in my office, and I lit a small candle, a Anthropology vanilla lavender candle, and a fireman walked in. And I was happy to see him, so I said, hello. And he said, you got to put out the candle. And I'm like, what? Why? And he said, because you don't have a permit for it. And I go, I need a permit for a candle. And he said, yes. And I said, fine, I will go to the city hall and I will get a permit. And then his answer back was, we only give permits to places of worship and restaurants, put out your candle. So I'm a 50-year-old woman being ordered by a fireman, by a pleasant man, to put out my candle. So as the years have progressed, I have learned, and this is just scratching the surface, you need a permit to move an outlet. You need a permit to install a new light fixture. If you're doing a home remodel, you need a permit to staple construction paper. You need a permit to use a ladder temporarily on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, and people don't know it.
So you're going to look to try to examine those and maybe streamline some of that.
Yeah, and also, too, California is probably the strictest state in the country with rules and regulations.
True.
So to me, if La Mesa has a rule that's even stricter than Sacramento, I don't think that's necessary. So I would work to eliminate those as well.
Okay.
And if a vote came up for some new ordinance or some new regulation, chances are that I would vote against it if I felt it was petty or superfluous.
Okay, thank you for that. Your website has an interesting section called La Mesa Sizzle. Tell us a little bit about some of these new events that you envision bringing in and what other ideas you have to beautify the La Mesa Village, such as you mentioned, creating some kind of garden district, ways to bring more visitors into the downtown village.
Well, I love La Mesa. I've been here since 2002, and it's got a gorgeous little village, and it has the parks and the edge of Lake Marie and all that. And the what I envision is downtown La Mesa is sort of the heartbeat of La Mesa. It's like when you think of La Mesa, people automatically think of downtown. I was on the parking commission, I don't know, 10 years ago, and I remember wanting to use, we had a couple of million dollars in parking meter money, and our village desperately needed to be cleaned up and flower pots, and we weren't using that money constructively. So some of my ideas are this. First of all, I was on the board that spearheaded the farmers market. I love having it downtown. I do understand right now that with COVID and all the shutdowns, it has become in the way. So I support, and our whole board supports, moving the farmers market across the tracks on the other side. But anyway, so when I say Garden District, I was born outside of New Orleans. Every time I go to New Orleans, I always go to the Garden District, and it's beautiful homes, old homes like we have all over the place with gorgeous gardens. Mm-hmm. We have La Mesa, beautiful La Mesa. I've been associated with them for years. I think they would love something like that. So that's one idea. Another idea is I work very closely with the La Jolla Golf Cart Company. He would sell street legal golf carts to residents of La Mesa, waive the sales tax or absorb the sales tax. And that saves $1,000. And we could have little golf carts darting all over town, which is absolutely charming. When you're in Catalina or Coronado and you see all the golf carts darting around, it makes you feel like you're in a really cool town.
We hear a lot of talk about making it bicycle friendly, but golf cart friendly. I like it.
Yeah. You know, I have mine and everybody always waves at it. I always feel like I'm in some parade or something in it. But so it's ideas like that. And there's also a gentleman named Tony Guypa who has a great idea of creating a little Italy style plaza on Palm where Randall Lamb, the building burned down. Like we had the two buildings burned down, Randall Lamb. And it would be like a piazza style. And I think you could do Holiday in the Village there, farmer's market there. It'd be a place for picnic tables. It'd be beautiful.
Okay, great. Well, that sounds exciting. What ideas do you have for the rest of La Mesa outside of the village?
Okay, so I believe that reducing regulations helps everybody everywhere. I have sold, I don't even know how many houses, somewhere between $1.5 billion real estate, and most of it's been in La Mesa. And I have one client, for example, complaining to me that she was building a 20 by 24 garage. No windows, no plumbing, a box. She would go to the planning department, there'd be a mistake on page one, they would tell her to correct it, and then she'd go, well, can you see if page two looks good? And they go, nope, we don't want to look at page two until you fix page one. She leaves, she goes, fixes page one, comes back, they look at page two, there's a mistake, they won't look at page three until she's fixed page two, making her go back and forth 10 times. She said while she was going back repeatedly, she ran into someone who said they had been back and forth 100 times. I don't know if that's exaggeration, but the point is anybody remodeling a house anywhere, it's in California, but also in La Mesa, especially La Mesa, mm-hmm. they go through so much hurdles and expense. I remember selling a house in La Mesa where the deck was half built. And I asked my client, can you finish it? It would be better for selling it. And he goes, I spent so much money on the paper, I ran out of money for the labor. So, or the lumber. And so my feeling is I would want to cut regulations for all the people that are trying to beautify their homes anywhere in La Mesa, and anything you do for businesses in the village would apply to businesses all over La Mesa.
Okay. La Mesa has been the target of protests repeatedly over police actions locally and nationally and racial justice issues. And of course, they suffered that devastating riot and looting in late May. Your website mentions you support the La Mesa Police, the Blue Line concept. Can you share, please, also what you believe should be done, if anything, to address the concerns over racial justice and police actions in an increasingly diverse population, but also to improve the city's response to emergencies and be sure that police are able to protect public safety and hopefully avoid future riots?
Well, that's key what you said is we've given our police the responsibility to protect our persons and our properties. I was here for the May 30th riots. I was here all day when it was peaceful. And then I was here until I left before 9 o'clock. So it's, I don't know, 8:30. And it was dark. It was dangerous. There was smoke and fire. People were throwing Molotov cocktails, rocks. And our police were overwhelmed for sure. I know we weren't expecting that. The next morning I showed up here and buildings were still burning. And so I think that our police did everything they could. I don't think they were expecting the riots to happen the way they did. And I've been reading on other candidates' websites, and of course the City of La Mesa's website, how they're trying to create a citizens oversight committee. And I don't think that's the right way to go, because I would never try to judge a person's behavior if I haven't walked in their shoes. So if there was ever to be a citizens oversight committee, I would want it to be manned by maybe former police or former prosecutors. But I wouldn't want to be on a committee overlooking your writing. I wouldn't want you on a committee overlooking my real estate. So I don't think that's the right way to go. And I think our police do a great, I think they're friendly, and I think they do a great job. And I do know the two specific cases that caused all the problems. And I watched the videos, and I believe our LMPD behaved patiently and responsibly.
Interesting. Okay, so there's basically, you don't have any specific ideas to address concerns about racial inequity or inequality?
Well, it's not so much I don't have any specific ideas for racial inequality. My point is like, well, the Amaree Johnson incident, that was triggered by an ordinance that the city council voted 5-0 in the beginning of the year, the smoking ban ordinance. Mm-hmm. And I was there, and I remember thinking to myself, this can't possibly end well, because either a police officer is going to go to someone smoking and tell them to put out a cigarette, and the person will resent it, or the person's going to resist it. And that's exactly what happened. So we have a gentleman get off the trolley. The policeman comes over and hassles him about a cigarette. If we didn't have that ordinance, again, too many rules, too many regulations, too many ordinances, just too much government mandates in our everyday lives. That never would have happened. So yeah. I believe that our police should be used for, you know, protecting the community, not for hassling people, which means we should not have those kind of ordinances. So, yeah, I feel like he never would have hassled the guy if we didn't have that ordinance.
Yeah. I've got a question. Some of the readers had sent in questions, you know, during and before the forum, too. But can you tell us briefly your view on the La Mesa Civil Defense and the East County Defenders movements, Black Lives Matter movement as well? And also, what are your views on the calls by some to shift some of the police funding into social services or alternative responses to incidents that involve people who are mentally ill or homeless, that sort of thing?
Okay. The opinion I have of Black Lives Matter, which is the main organization getting all of the press, is they have grievances, and I believe they have every First Amendment right to protest those grievances. However, when they cross the line from protesting and it goes into burning and looting and throwing Molotov cocktails and vandalizing, all of a sudden your tactic has taken away your people that would be favorable to your argument. So I think anybody has a right to protest, and I support that. But I do not support the violence at all. It's just horrible what happened to our town. And I see it happening to cities all over the country. And I think that the city mayors and the city councils that are acquiescing to these protests that have gotten out of hand are not doing their job. They should be protecting their cities and not letting it get out of hand the way it has.
What about the Defender movement, which started certainly very well intentioned, I think, by people who wanted to prevent the kind of thing that happened in La Mesa, the looting and the burning? But we've also seen some instances where there were fist fights, racial slurs, you know, that sort of thing. Knives.
I don't know what you're talking. I don't know the committee. I don't know the name of the organization.
Oh, okay. La Mesa Civil Defense and East County Defenders. If you're not familiar, it's okay. We can, you know, move on. They were groups that kind of sort of counter protest groups that started with a goal of sort of protecting La Mesa. But there were some sort of racial white supremacist groups that showed up as part of that, and they were attacking people, and you know, so it's been like, as with the protest movement, it's a combination of people who were well-intentioned and some extremists that came out and were, you know, marching up and down in La Mesa not at the first protest, but at later ones with knives.
I was at the last potential protest, which is about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And I did see the men pickup trucks, American flags. So I think that's who you're referring to.
Right. I think at least one was arrested for going in and, you know. Yeah.
All I saw from the boulevard was their presence. And I feel like their presence did sort of tamper down potential violence and conflict. I definitely saw the protester types kind of running away. So that was the only observation. That's the only thing I know about them.
Okay, let's move on and talk about housing. As a realtor, I'm sure you have ideas on this one. The housing shortage and homelessness are two key problems in our whole region. What steps would you support, first, to address homelessness in La Mesa, and second, to balance the state requirements for more housing, especially affordable housing, versus the concerns we hear from some residents about wanting to make sure we retain the character of communities? Some people are worried about, you know, high rises, and also making sure there's enough parking for whatever gets built.
Okay. All right. So homelessness, it's one of those problems that it's not solvable by a city. there is one problem right now that has a stopgap solution. For example, in the alley across the street from me, there's a lot of homeless people who use the alley as a public bathroom. The business and building owners every day are shoveling human waste and spraying down human waste, and it's awful. And so we got to put a porta potty. And my fear is that if you put porta potties, you might attract more homeless. And so I don't know how permanent that solution is, but something has to be done now. Plus, I mean, just for the human dignity, to use a bathroom out in the open street is, it's awful. And so
maybe what about a hand washing station with that, especially with the pandemic?
I think some porta potties have those. They have them inside. So yeah, so that doesn't even touch what the real problem is. So to me, the problem has to be taken care of by the state of California, and there is a real estate association with it. Every single time I read about a homeless shelter being built or an apartment building being devoted to homeless the population, it's always in an extremely expensive real estate, Malibu, Bankers Hill, Los Angeles. And I'm like, you've got real estate going for $1,000 a foot. Why are you building it there? So you're also limited in size. My feeling is the state of California needs to build facilities in real estate where real estate is not expensive. And I mean facilities that have medical care, job training, counseling, food, child care. I mean facilities that can help these people get off the street, but you have to simultaneously ban people living on the street. Because if you give a homeless person, hey, you get to live in San Diego, or you need to go to this facility, they're going to choose to stay on the streets in San Diego. So simultaneously, if you ban living on the streets while giving them the alternative of a facility where they could get protection from the outside elements, food, medical care, a bed, that's the only way. A city can take care of this.
Yeah, there's a court case now I'm sure you're familiar with, too, the precedent where you really can't just kick them off the street or arrest them.
There's nowhere to go.
It's not a shelter because, but if you have beds and shelters, then you can use the stick approach.
Yeah, and put the beds and shelters in you can build a large facility if you're in a community or, you know, like if you're in more central or eastern California where the real estate is much, much less, and you might have a community that would welcome the jobs that would be created by cafeteria, medical, council, all that stuff.
Okay.
And parking would never be a problem.
No, that's okay. Let's talk about the pandemic and the impacts in La Mesa. Obviously, they've been severe. La Mesa did recently give out $1 million in CARES funding to businesses and another $600,000 to renters. And the application for the renter part actually had to close early because they were so overwhelmed with so many people who applied. So I would like to ask, it's kind of a two-part question, what are your budget priorities for the city if you're elected? And if there are any future rounds of relief funding for COVID, how would you prioritize, you know, who would get that? I guess I'd also like to know, do you have ideas to increase revenues for the city?
Yeah, see, that's
everybody wants to spend it, is a little harder.
When you're in the private sector, you know, like I've been, you know, for, like I said, 18 years, you don't sit there and think like, I'm going to save a dollar a day. How you think is, I want to grow my revenue. Like, is it through marketing? Is it through shoe leather? You know, meeting people? How do I grow the revenue? Mm-hmm. So my feeling is, again, especially during this COVID, if you go down to any restaurant right now in La Mesa who has taken advantage of their parking lots, their sidewalks, it looks like there's weddings everywhere. There's all the white tents, like I was at the Brigantine, and you have the servers running around with their margaritas, and everybody's outside. And I know that's temporary. If you go to the California ABC page, they literally say on their page, temporary regulatory relief, which makes me kind of laugh because even they know that it's a relief from regulations. You almost feel like they're going, we're going to take our boot off your neck and let you breathe. So when this pandemic is over, I would hope, because these restaurants have to make up for 6, 7, 8 months of lost income, that the ABC and the city of La Mesa will allow the parklets, the sidewalk dining, the parking lot dining, the alcohol sales on the sidewalk. I wish they would do it forever, but at least enough time for these people to land on their feet again.
Yeah. Well, I've heard from a lot of people, they think it's kind of nice to eat outside, enjoy
Absolutely.
The weather. quiet, you can carry on a conversation without loud music, you know, TV. So,
and you get to watch, and it's, and you're people watching, and it's fantastic. And so, yeah, so I would like to see that stay forever.
True. Laura, you've mentioned some of the actions you've taken as a board member with the La Mesa Village Association to benefit the businesses and the community as a whole. We did ask all the candidates last night that conflict of interest questions have arisen over several of the candidates, you know, including, I think Colin has gotten some developer money through Circulate San Diego. You own a real estate business downtown, and you're on the board of the La Mesa Village Association. So how would you address any potential concerns over conflicts of interest? Are there circumstances where you would recuse yourself from voting? And also, one of our readers asked if you could clarify back when you served on the board of the old Merchants Association that's gone, and they left owing the city, I think it was $50,000 or something. You know, did you make any efforts to try to help repay that debt, which I don't think ever was?
No, I didn't make any personal efforts to pay back that debt. I think like $50,000.
You haven't raised the money or something, yeah.
Yeah, I from the old association, the city of La Mesa used to not charge for us to hold the events. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, it went 50%, 100%. And it ended up costing so much money that we couldn't succeed. Plus the one Oktoberfest where everything fell apart was the Oktoberfest where the city of La Mesa put a curfew. It not only was it 100 degrees that weekend, but they closed us down at 8 just as people were arriving. The whole thing was a giant mistake. And if we hadn't had that curfew, we wouldn't have been in the hole. The new Merchants Association, there's a lot more participation and just a lot of fresh ideas, and everything they do is because they care about bringing business to the downtown area, but also to increase and enhance the reputation of all of Mesa. So I always tell everybody in real estate, the more successful our downtown is, the better our home values are, no matter where you are in La Mesa, because it enhances our entire reputation.
Okay. And what about the conflict of interest question that was raised about when candidates should recuse from a vote?
We had a city council member, Guy McWhorter, and he was on the Merchant Association. He would recuse himself when it was called for, and I would do the same thing.
Okay. Thank you. What are your views about funding the long-promised new library? Should that be a priority, understanding, of course, the times we're in? And if so, where do you think it could someday be located?
I think we have a fantastic library now. It's big. It's beautiful. It's always populated by people enjoying it. When you have a budget shortfall, and we're really going to have one now with the loss of income from the COVID, it's just like any personal person does. You know, your first priorities is your roof over your head. So for us, it's safety and infrastructure, and things like they want to expand the park and bring pickleball, which I love pickleball. I play every day. Mm-hmm. But that's just, those are wish list things. Right now, you got to care about your budget. And if you've got a library that's functioning fine, then just leave it be until you have, you know, excessive funds, and then you can start doing the projects that you want to do. So there's needs and there's wants. Needs are infrastructure and security.
Okay. What endorsements are you most proud of?
Okay. Well, I am very glad that I have the unanimous endorsement from the Republican Party of San Diego County. I am very proud that I have the endorsement of the Lincoln Club, which is a nonpartisan group, mm-hmm. and all they support are candidates that are going to help businesses thrive throughout the county. I just found out yesterday that I got endorsed by Carl DeMaio. I admire that man. He is so smart. I've always had great ideas for the state of California. So those are the ones. Now, this weekend, I'm devoting my entire weekend to going to businesses all over the city with my new La Mesa Courier article about me being pro-business and my card. And I will be looking for endorsements from La Mesa businesses.
Okay. And where can people find more information about you, Laura? What is your website or Facebook page?
My website. And it's lauraforlamesa.com.
Okay, that's easy.
And I update it. I'm on it every other day.
And that's Laura for those that are listening on radio and can't see her sign right behind her here on the video.
Right there.
There you go. Laura, I'm going to let you have the final word today. Can you take a minute and just sum up anything else that you would like our viewers and listeners to know and readers on the website to know about your candidacy for the La Mesa City Council?
Well, Mary, first of all, thank you for having this interview. And I'm so sorry I couldn't make the Thursday forum.
Yeah, I understand you had a pre-existing commitment that night.
Yeah, we were celebrating the close of a historic home, and they took us out to dinner. I just want to leave with this message that I love this city. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people, I was born and raised here. Well, I chose it. And I've been here for 18 years. And I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of the fact that I have sold more houses here than any other agent in the last 17, 18 years. And there's a reason for that. I'm a big cheerleader for La Mesa. And I just really think that our city council would benefit from having a business voice, someone that really understands the challenges of opening your doors and keeping them open. And I think sometimes you get caught up as a city bureaucrat and you love your rules and your regulations without thinking of the real world effect of those. And I would be there very much understanding what it feels like to be a resident or a business in La Mesa trying to navigate the rules.
Okay. Well, Laura, I really want to thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. And it's a big undertaking to run for a city council seat, especially during COVID-19 when candidates can't get out so much and walk door to door and, you know, there aren't all the usual forums. So I also want to thank KNSJ Radio and the Facebook Journalism Project again for underwriting and supporting our series of candidate forums and candidate interviews for as I mentioned, we did have three candidates who participated in a forum this week. The other three, we couldn't get all six of them the same date, so the other three have done Zoom interviews with us, and we will be putting all of those up on our site within the next couple of days for people to see and read and learn more about the candidates running for the two seats open on the La Mesa City Council. Thank you.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. You can support independent public media for our region. Please support KNSJ by making a donation or a sustaining monthly pledge of any amount at www.knsj.org. We're your community radio station, KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, serving the San Diego border region from the mountains to the sea. That's www.knsj.org.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's backcountry.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. And if you would like to help the nonprofit East County Magazine by volunteering, you can get involved by contacting editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producers, John Sepulveda and Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, AK Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.